Dear audience, I am Kirti Tuladhar. Today is the 5th of March 1997 at Sakya Singha Vihara, Thainatol, Lalitpur, Kathmandu, Nepal. The Venerable Bhikkhu Sunanda Patwar will teach us meditation. Venerable Sir, please come here and give us instruction for meditation practice. Thank you.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Dear Venerable Sirs, ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy today to have this opportunity to address to you all. Now, my topic to discuss here is meditation principles and practice. Perhaps some of you have already heard or read my ideas on this topic before. It is a general guidance to meditation for beginners and for continuous practitioners, which is as follows. It is always beneficial to have knowledge or to study about something new before you begin to use it. In the same way, I hope that beginners of meditation learn and understand this guidance first before they begin to practice it. I believe that this will be of use and beneficial to them. The first question to ask and answer is, what is meditation? In principle, the fixing of the mind on a single object or the attainment of one-pointedness of mind is meditation. This is the centering of consciousness and the accompanying factors of consciousness, evenly and rightly placed upon a single object, without letting them get distracted and scattered. This is called meditation or samadhi. This form of meditation eliminates mental distraction, and then the unwavering mind naturally becomes blissful and concentrated. Meditation is a systematic way of thinking, considering and contemplating upon a given object. It controls unsystematic thinking and sees the things as they really are. Meditation, therefore, is nothing else but mindfulness. To be mindful is to have experience of meditation. When one meditates upon a given theme properly, one's mind becomes calm, mind sinks down to the object deeply, and while remaining his attention to his meditative world object, the meditator is not quite aware of outside world. As a skillful sculptor makes statues, meditator strives for one-pointedness of mind by setting it in the matrix of the meditation object. While fixing attention on a single theme or the meditation object, the meditator's distracted and harmful thoughts are removed. The cultivated, developed mind, being tractable, brings much peace and happiness to life. Thus, to meditate means to fix one's mind or attention upon a particular object. In other words, the act of fixed systematic thinking is meditation. There are many kinds of meditation with various aspects. In general, meditation is of two kinds. One, wrong meditation, and two, right meditation. Wrong meditation is that which is practiced for the purpose of achieving selfish ends, such as fame and worldly power for the purpose of harming others. Meditation is not a simple activity. It is a mental discipline. Therefore, the Buddha put much emphasis on the practice of right meditation. Right meditation can be classified into two kinds, namely, one, calm, samatha, and two, insight, vipassana.
Samatha means meditation practice for the purpose of calm, fixing one's mind upon a single object. Samatha meditation concentrates upon controlling the wavering or roaming thoughts. The nature of our thoughts is exceedingly subtle, fickle, very flighty and unsteady. Our thoughts are more difficult to control and train than wild animals. One cannot wholly eradicate one's mental defilements through samatha meditation. It is not too directly concerned with the development of insight wisdom, but one can attain different levels of meditation jhana and various kinds of psychic powers through it. Vipassana means meditation or concentration practice for the purpose of insight, wisdom, the purpose of which is to see or to penetrate the reality or the nature of a phenomena, nama rupa, that is, to understand things as they really are. There are three common characteristics of all phenomena: impermanence, suffering, and soullessness. Vipassana meditation endeavors to penetrate them. Through the practice of vipassana meditation, one does not attain the different levels of jhana meditation, nor does one attain any psychic power. Only insight wisdom is developed, which eradicates all mental defilements with its arising. Eventually, liberation, nirvana, is attained. If the meditator aims to obtain jhana or psychic power and fixes his thoughts on a single object, his meditation is called samatha. If he aims to see the nature of reality and eradicate his mental defilements by the current of insight awareness, his meditation is called vipassana. Samatha meditation and vipassana meditation are helpful to each other. One-pointedness of the mind and mindfulness are equally important in order to develop either kind of meditation. Meditation is a proper quality of human beings, and as such it can be owned by all human minds that aspire and venture to own it. Interpretation and technique which guide to the way of cultivating meditation can be claimed by particular groups or individuals, but the real meditation that an individual has earned can belong to him and only him. No second person can have access to it. Even the experienced meditator confined in a second person, that would only be a technique or interpretation. Hence, it is idiosyncratic mental virtue and can hardly be transmitted to. People wish to have happiness and peace. It is true that there are two kinds of happiness. One, happiness derived from materials. Two, spiritual happiness derived through practicing meditation. The spiritual happiness is more subtle, profound, and can last longer than the formal happiness, and it is because people understand the inadequacy of worldly material happiness that they desire to practice meditation. There are many benefits in practicing meditation. Some of them can be illustrated as follows. 1. The emphasis of Buddhism lies on perceiving, knowing, and understanding, and not just on belief. Therefore, if you are students, you can learn things well and can do better in exams, since through meditation your mind becomes calm and clear, and your memory becomes better than before you ever practiced meditation. 2. Your complexion brightens and you become more cheerful. 3. You can sleep happily and more peacefully with no bad or horrible dreams, and wake up happily with a clear mind. Four, you are more aware of your surroundings and are more active. Five, you have more loving kindness and tolerance towards others, and other human and non-human beings love in return. Six, your mind being sound, your body becomes healthy. That is to say, meditation can cure your physical as well as mental diseases. These are the common benefits of meditation which you can experience yourself in your daily life. The general level of these common benefits can be obtained even when you have developed ordinary or low-level meditation but not yet reached into the jhana level. Still, there are many remaining benefits besides the above-mentioned ones, which are more subtle, profound, and accepting the attainment of various levels of jhana and absolute eradication of defilements. The other supernatural powers listed below may hardly be attended by modern minds. These benefits are 1. Insight or various levels of jhana with as well as without form. 2. Projection of astral body or psychic power. Example, the power to walk on water like on earth. 3. Psychical fits. 4. Clairaudience, divine ear. 5. Telepathy, power to read minds. 6. Recollection of previous existences. 7. Clairvoyance, divine eye. 8. Absolute eradication of mental defilements. Provided with the above information, a question may arise in the inquisitive's mind. What meditation subject is suitable for me? This is one of the most difficult questions to answer, but it is very important to know, since without knowing, one can hardly succeed in one's meditation. There are 40 different kinds of meditation subjects in Buddhism, such as kasinas, copes, recollection of the Buddha, mindfulness of breathing, loving kindness, and so forth. These meditation subjects are selectively given to meditators according to their own temperament or idiosyncrasy. If the meditation subject is not suitable for his temperament, then he might find it very difficult to develop his meditation, even as when a doctor gives the wrong medicine to his patient, he cannot cure his patient's disease. He might even bring harm to his patient. As a skillful physician or doctor knows that his patient has a certain disease and that a certain medicine can cure that disease, then also the Lord Buddha knew the particular temperament or idiosyncrasy of any person and knew which meditation subject was suitable for that person. Hence, in the Buddha's time, through the Buddha's great knowledge of their minds and temperaments and his infallible ability in giving the appropriate meditation instruction and meditation subject, both men and women countless succeeded in their meditation. Now we see that it is more difficult for modern people to succeed in meditation because of the scarcity of expert teachers. However, it is still possible if we strive for it. After over 25 centuries, we still have the profound teachings of the Buddha as efficacious, pure, and effective as in the Buddha's time. Therefore, if we wish to succeed in meditation, we must be energetic and practice, because the teaching or teachers can only show the way. Whether we go that way depends on us, with the view to helping his followers in their practice of meditation. The Buddha has mainly pointed out 6 kinds of temperament of mankind. They are as follows. 1. Greedy or lustful temperament. 2. hating or angry temperament. 3. Deluded temperament. 4. Faithful or credulous temperament. 5. Intelligent temperament. 6. Speculative or disposition towards worry or uncontrolled thoughts temperament. Each individual possesses a temperament with one of the above six factors dominant. One's temperament can be known or inferred by oneself or by one's watchful teacher through close association and keen observation of one's natural behavior. However, it is not an easy task to understand someone's temperament. Anyway, let us see some examples of appropriate selection of a meditation subject as follows. One who is of greedy temperament should practice meditation on repulsiveness of either the body, corpse, or of food. One who is of angry temperament, easily irritated even from the slightest provocation, should practice meditation on loving-kindness. One of deluded temperament, who has lack of intellectual power, should develop learning and knowledge by asking questions which those who are wise and have better understanding. Faithful or credulous temperament is also the result of lack of intelligence. Such a person easily believes even without sufficient reason. This believing tendency can be made use of by recollection of the virtues of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. One of intelligent temperament with ability to understand should practice meditation on the three common characteristics of beings. That is to say, impermanence, suffering, and soullessness of all phenomena, the Four Noble Truths, and so on. One of speculative temperament who has distracting or uncontrolled thoughts which often lead him to worry or morosely anticipate trouble should meditate on breathing. Is it necessary for us to practice all kinds of meditation? I should like to make a suggestion that it is not necessary for us to practice all those above mentioned types of meditation, such as kashinas, recollection of corpse, and so forth. If we can do some of them perfectly, it is sufficient for us. Also, we will deal with only some of them here. For if you change your meditation method frequently, before you have put sufficient time and effort into that practice of meditation, it is not good nor beneficial for you. Thus, if you are impatient and change it without having tested it sufficiently, then you will be like a man who digs a well to get water from place to place, a bit here and a bit there, but not deep enough even in a single place, and leaves them thinking that there's no water before water comes up there, without knowing or having self-confidence in his own work. As a matter of fact, there's water there, but the digging of his well is not deep enough. Such a man can never get water from his wells. In the same way, if you practice meditation but for a little while and give up that method and practice another method of meditation and again give it up, then you cannot obtain much benefit in your practice of meditation. But on the other hand, if you do not change your meditation method after having practiced or tested it sufficiently well without producing sufficient results in proportion to your practice and effort, then to continue that practice would be meaningless. You will be like a person who is waiting for fruit from beans sown on solid rock. Therefore, with proper instruction, a suitable method, and right practice, we should be able to achieve the highest level of benefit and should be like a skillful doctor who never wastes his time and energy. Meditation is dynamic and produces its results in proportion to the meditator's practice, effort, self-confidence, and other factors. Everyone, old men, women, boys, and girls, young or old, can practice meditation and can obtain the benefits according to one's practice in the same way as monks and nuns do. There is no requirement about sex, status, or age. However, it requires some other things such as moral conduct. If the meditator is a lay person, he or she should observe 5 kinds of moral conduct or precepts. If the meditator is a monk, novice, or nun, then he or she should observe precepts according to his or her status. Moral precepts should be observed voluntarily and not by force. Therefore, if a person intentionally transgresses or violates his or her precepts, it is regarded as committing a wrongdoing and falling away from his training. If a person breaks his or her precepts without intention, it is not regarded as falling away from his training. Moral conduct not only helps us to be a better person in society, but is of primary importance for establishing the foundation for right meditation. Therefore, I hope the following advice will help you in your practice of meditation. First of all, pay homage to the Triple Gem, that is to say, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and say 3 times, either mentally or verbally, I go to the Buddha for my refuge, I go to the Dhamma for my refuge, I go to the Sangha for my refuge. Make a vow to yourself, saying, I voluntarily abstain from killing, stealing, committing adultery, lying, and taking intoxicating substances, which may lead to heedlessness. If you like, you may ask, perhaps mentally, for forgiveness from your parents, friends, etc., to help the mind become calm, saying, please forgive me for any offense with or without intention which I may have done to you, and I forgive you for any offense you may have done to me. If you like, you can mentally dedicate yourself either to the Buddha or to your meditation master for the duration that you are going to practice meditation, which may add to your self-confidence. The above mentioned things may psychologically help your mind to become more free, strong, and calm. A meditation which is generally regarded as one of the best meditation subjects or methods suitable for various kinds of temperament is mindfulness of breathing. It is the meditation technique used by the majority of Buddhist practitioners today, and it is very productive, conducive, and effective in developing concentration and wisdom. Sit down, cross your leg, or in some other suitable, comfortable position on the floor in the meditative position. If this is uncomfortable, you may sit on a chair or cushion. Keep your body and head erect, but not tense or strained. Put your right hand in the left palm with the tips of the thumbs just touching each other. Close your eyes, open and keep open your mental eye of mindfulness. Try not to move your body during the period of meditation unless it is necessary. First of all, keeping the above position, relax your body and mind, getting rid of any tension for the duration that you are meditating. Forget about your past business and your future plans. For a few minutes, direct your mind towards the thought, may I be happy, may I be well, may I be free from enmity, may I be free from disease, and then extend the same wish towards your parents and to all beings. then bring your whole mindfulness to be aware of the thoughts of the in and out breath at the nose tip. Do not try and change the breath. Just observe the natural breath as it is. Let the breathing happen by itself. Thus, when the meditator breathes in mindfully, he knows I am breathing in. When he breathes out mindfully, he knows I am breathing out. When he breathes in long, he knows I am breathing in long. When he breathes out long, he knows I am breathing out long. When he breathes in short, he knows I am breathing in short. When he breathes out short, he knows I am breathing out short. He trains himself thinking, I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body of breath. He trains himself thinking, I shall breathe out, experiencing the whole body of breath. He trains himself thinking, I shall breathe in, tranquilizing the activity of the body. He trains himself thinking, I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the activity of the body. It is important to keep attention at the point of contact of the breath with the nose tip and not to follow the breath, just as the attention of a man sawing wood is established at the point of contact of the saw's teeth with the wood, and he does not give his attention to the saw's teeth as they come and go, yet even so he knows their coming and going. It is good to practice meditation as long as you can. In case the body becomes uncomfortable and it is necessary for you to move any part of the body and change your posture, then do so slowly and mindfully. If you move quickly, you may lose development of mindfulness, which means there is no good meditation at that moment. Hence, awareness is meditation. While meditating, sometimes the mind slips away to irrelevant corners, quite unnoticed. Never mind. Try and bring it back to your meditation quickly, but do not worry about it. Remember how many times a child falls down when he learns to walk or when a man learns to ride a bicycle, but he never gives up because of often falling down. In the same way, you should never be disappointed and give up your practice of meditation. Through perseverance, you will finally succeed. If after sitting in meditation for 30 to 45 minutes, bodily discomfort should arise, do not by force try to sit longer without moving. If you want to continue your practice of meditation, slowly and mindfully stand up and pace slowly up and down in a smooth place with mindfulness directed towards the walking posture for about 30 minutes. Again, sit down and continue mindfulness of breathing. Meditation can also be practiced in every movement and in all postures, such as sitting, standing, walking and lying down. You can practice meditation in a bedroom, an office, a garden, a forest, or at any place. A quiet place is always important or necessary for beginners for the sake of developing meditation. It is the same as when we plant an acorn or a little plant, we have to protect it from various obstacles, such as from birds, animals, strong sun, or heavy rain and the like. But when it has fully grown into an oak tree, then even elephants can be bound to it. In the same way, in order to protect the seed of meditation, a meditator must have a quiet place. You can practice meditation at any time. However, it is especially good to practice meditation early in the morning as soon as you wake up and again in the evening just before you go to bed. Moreover, it is interesting to mention here that if you regularly feed or give food to wild birds or animals at the same time and in the same place, they will come and eat there without fear or hesitation at that time. Likewise, if you practice meditation at the same time every day, your mind will naturally or habitually come to dwell on your meditation subject easily. In this way, you can train your mind, making it docile and tractable. Meditators are advised to often consult their meditation instructor and check their experiences on through the practice of meditation. The following explanation aims to help those who know the method of practicing meditation, who have already been practicing meditation for some time, but still need some further guidance. Therefore, if you are new to meditation but wish to begin practicing it, you may first of all like to well familiarize yourself with and get benefits from the above guidance. When the mind is distracted and wandering, you cannot meditate well within the given meditation theme. The mind is drawn away by useless thoughts and does not fix upon the meditation subject. Or sometimes when the mind starts to become calm, it is inclined to fall asleep. Therefore, when is there meditation? Meditation arises when there is the alert mind. An alert mind or mindfulness is most important. Hence, mindfulness itself is meditation. Mindfulness plays a wonderful role in our life.